Hello, radio family. Welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about gospel music and what the Lord has done in the lives of two gospel singers. Our special guests this hour are Chris Miller and Arlethea Lindsay. Both of these ladies have interesting stories and testimonies of how the Lord has moved in their lives. We will be speaking with Arlethea Lindsay, also known as the Subway Psalmist, in the second half of the show. But right now I have the honor of introducing you to Chris Miller. Chris Miller is an inspirational speaker and estate planner and an award-winning songwriter of country gospel music. She comes from a Jewish background, had an encounter with Jesus, and decided to follow him just like the original disciples. She left everything behind, traveling the world as an evangelist, living by faith for over 25 years. Eventually, she was called into singing and songwriting and got into business later in life, helping people prepare for retirement with her estate planning business. Throughout her many years walking with Jesus, she has had some amazing divine intervention experiences along the way. Her website is chrismillerspeaker.com, and it is my pleasure to welcome Chris Miller right now on Divine Intervention. Chris, you are on Divine Intervention. Welcome to the show, and thanks for being here.
And thanks for having me. What an honor to be here.
Oh, it's my honor. I was very excited when I met you at the National Publicity Summit, and subsequently got to learn that you are a very multi-talented woman. You're an estate planner. You're also a musician, recording artist, and somewhat of an evangelist as well, with a very interesting story. So let's take it to the beginning a little bit. Tell us about your background. Who is Chris Miller? And tell us about how you grew up and maybe how you came to the Lord.
All right. Well, I have quite an amazing story. I actually was born full-blood Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I was younger, I was seeking the truth and wanted to know God more than anything, and just wasn't finding enough in what I was taught. And I studied all kinds of religions and reached out and looked into all kinds of things and still could not find what I was looking for. And back in those days, I was traveling around with some friends, and we were sitting on the side of the road. I was pretty depressed, and I was wondering which way I should go. Mm. And I really, really felt quite sad and lost, and seemed like I had nowhere to turn except two choices, either commit suicide or go to South America.
Really? Oh. That's quite an extreme there.
Yeah.
Now, were you raised like going to temple and observing all the rituals and involved in the Jewish faith?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
We weren't Orthodox, probably, but my dad's parents, mom was Orthodox. But we went to temple, and I went to, you know, Sunday school, and we had Passover. We'd celebrate Passover every year, which is really quite a beautiful feast.
Absolutely.
But really didn't have any, you know, I wasn't bas mitzvahed or anything.
Okay.
But I was brought up, you know, in a you could say, the normal Jewish family.
Okay. And why did you think your only choices were suicide or South America, of all things?
Well, because there was a period where my brother and I were looking for the truth, and there was supposed to be some, you know, hidden thing in South America, just one of these things back in the end of the 60s, where there was all kinds of different things that were happening.
Okay.
And I really had tried everything. I really grew up fast. I looked into a lot of religions. I wasn't finding what I was looking for. I was really, really depressed, and I was even to the point of wondering if there was a God. I was so down.
Wow.
And so I said a prayer, and I said, look, if there's a God, please show me a sign. And within like 5 minutes, remember, we're sitting on the side of the road, this old horse trailer pulls over, and this man sticks his head out the window and says, are you looking for Jesus Christ, Camp? And before I could think, even before my brain could fire, I jumped up and said, yes!
Okay.
I was in that truck, and my friends, we hopped in there and went down this dusty old road, and he led us out in the middle of nowhere, and I could see, it was about sunset, I could see a campfire in the distance, and so I was with my friends. I said, let's go there, and we started walking towards the fire, and the closer I got, the more I could see the people's faces illuminated by the campfire. It looked just like Jesus Christ and the disciples 2,000 years ago.
Hmm.
They were talking about the life of Christ. They were wearing robes, walking in their bare feet, living as brothers and sisters, celibate, married to God, nonviolent, and they were going go amongst the people and preach the gospel.
Right.
And they literally were doing that, literally. And I listened to, there's a man named, his name was Lightning Amen, and he was the one that started this group of people. Well, I sat down and listened to them talking about the life of Jesus Christ. And you must be willing to forsake your mother, father, sister, brother. And, I was so fascinated. That night I laid down. And Jesus' words just went rushing through my head, and, you know, everybody has their experience of faith where mm-hmm. they leap out and they just trust that hand is going to be there. Well, there I was the next day walking down the road. I left everything and walked in faith of Jesus Christ, accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and went on my pilgrimage. And basically, I lived that way for about 20, 25 years in faith. Didn't
wow.
work for money, worked only for the Lord. We went north in the summer, south in the winter, went down into Central America. It was just amazing.
That is amazing.
Just people would be, they'd be actually getting visions of us before we get there. And so we drove from United States down to Costa Rica. And we would drive into a town and hundreds of people would come out and swarm the car. And people would say, I saw you in a vision, come to our house. And you go to their house and the Lord would give you the perfect words to say. I was filled with the Spirit. I mean, the Bible was poured into my heart because I'd never read the New Testament.
Right. That is amazing. I have to be honest. I don't meet a lot of people whose conversion experiences are like this and who actually take the words of Jesus literally and forsake everything and just go and follow him and live by faith. That's almost it just goes against the American culture. So I'm just amazed.
It's almost unheard of, right?
I know, but when you read the scriptures, I mean, that is what the disciples did, and I just find it amazing. And I'm just thrilled to talk to someone like you who has experienced that. And of course, following Jesus and leaving everything behind, you really have to walk in faith. And I'm sure you have many stories of God's provision and guidance in your life.
Oh, daily, because you know what's so amazing? I just come over there and I say, okay, just kick off your shoes and leave everything behind, Daniel. We're going to just walk down the road in faith, and we just walk out the door. We don't know which way we're going. And what it does is it teaches you to really hear the Spirit. You'll be walking down the road, all of a sudden, turn right, turn left, and you go down the street, and there's somebody that's been praying, you know, and you learn this. There's, it wasn't like I had it all in the beginning. It's
right.
Very stretchy at times. We're like, you know, where am I going to sleep? Where am I going to eat? And all those things that we're not supposed to worry about. I never went hungry in 20, 25 years.
Mm.
Always taken care of. Always totally covered. There was, in the Lord really shows that he is a living God, and he really is there, and that he does provide. And all of those things are given in the moment. So,
Wow.
I never went hungry. I mean, we'd get picked up by people that would pull up in a limousine, invite us to their mansion, and feed us, and bathe us, and we'd have the perfect words to help them. And it was the ultimate in faith.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Friends, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. We're speaking with Chris Miller, who is an evangelist, an estate planner, and a musician. And she's just telling us how she forsook all and literally just followed Jesus and trusted him with everything and lived that way for 20-some-odd years. So, Chris, when you went down to South America and you had these receptions, I mean, how long did you actually stay in Central and South America, and what were some of the things you experienced down there?
Well, we were there for months, and extreme poverty, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, and the people that seemed to have the least, the people that share their last piece of bread or bowl of beans, I mean, it was amazing, and the people that maybe had a car or a fancier house would be the least receptive, and that's really not a new concept, because people get stuck in materialism and their comforts, and mm-hmm. they don't really know what living faith is, because it is an active thing. It's an action. And I mean, you know what fascinates me is greater things. The Lord says greater things that we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just to this day fascinating. I mean, greater things that Jesus?
Yeah.
We're supposed to do some. That just totally inspires me every day. And whether I'm walking down the road in a robe or I'm going to the office in a suit, we can still activate those acts of faith, because every day there'll be something that the Lord will put in front of us. Maybe it's helping a homeless person, or a charity, or giving somehow, or whatever it is. Mm. Something in the day the Lord will bring up. But to answer your question in a long way around, I guess what really, really touched my heart most about the poverty that I saw in Central America and some of those countries was the kind of people that had been praying, mm-hmm. and how receptive they were to the Word of God. And I really had been, you know, misled by some of the churches and the doctrines and things that they really never had a heart for and didn't understand. And they knew in their heart that what Jesus was saying, but they were so confused about some of the doctrines and things that some of the churches
right.
were teaching them.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the church teachings are not exactly lining up with what, you know, the Word says or what Jesus taught, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, in the last days, the church, it even says that, the churches would be the farthest, or one of the farthest away, because they weren't practicing what the Lord said. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've got so many stories, but, I mean, knocking on the churches, I'd say maybe 5 or 10% really were receptive, but most of them would call the police on us or think we were drug or hippies or something, because we weren't in your box. You know, we were mm-hmm. wearing robes, and the brothers had long hair and beards, and, you know, we didn't take drugs, or we'd do any of those things, but we were accused of that.
And so you had a group you were with?
Well, we'd split up in twos and threes.
I see, okay.
You know, just like the scripture says.
Right, just living biblically.
Right, exactly. And then maybe it was raining, and you'd just be walking through a town, and maybe you needed a place to stay. So you go knock on that church and ask in the name of Jesus to get off the road and be able to get dry for the night. And sometimes churches were very receptive and let you in and fed you, and sometimes they were scared as heck and called the police.
Oh, wow.
And we were county line through a few states.
So this is in America you're talking about?
Oh, yeah, in America. Uh-huh. One of the lower southern states.
Okay.
Back in the 70s, they were the most scariest places to go. I'll tell you, we were chased by the KKK.
Wow.
In South Carolina. There was about 15 of us. We were walking down this road, and it was about sunset. We had our robe and then a tote sack with a bowl and a spoon. At first, we used to only have one robe. Then we got a change of robes. But when we first started, it was real strict.
Mm-hmm.
And a sleeping bag. And so anyway, there was a number of us walking down the highway, and all of a sudden, this car goes by, and out the window comes a full beer can. And the guy threw it at us and said, "Yelling, you bums, get off the road, get a job." You know, so we kept walking. The guy drove by. Pretty soon, there were two cars. And then two full beer cans coming out, guns and ropes, and we're going to hang your you-know-what up.
Oh, my.
I know. And it was a little scary, and then we kept walking, and the sun was going down. Okay, it's time to go roll out for the night. So we found a little camping spot in the field, and it was out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, just about when we got settled, we see all these trucks pulling up, and like a whole half of town getting out of these trucks, and they have posses.
Oh, my gosh.
Lights, flashlights, and ropes, and guns, and they're splitting up in these little groups, and they're looking for us. Oh, my. Talk about a little nervous.
Yeah.
My heart was in my throat. So, I mean, talk about it. There's your faith meet the rubber meets the road right there. So we're sitting there, and my heart is a million miles an hour, and there's this one brother. He's sitting up. I go, lay down, you know, and it's dark. They can't see us or anything yet. They started coming out in the field. Pretty soon they're getting closer, and the flashlight's going all around. And I don't know, we must have been 100 feet from, not even 100 feet, maybe 50 feet from them. They shine the flashlight right on us. And the guy with the brother was sitting up, and the Lord totally blinked us out. They did not see us.
Wow.
Woo-hoo! Thank God. We were like, oh, hey, we were saved again. And then the next morning we got up, we walked down in the first little town we went into. This little old lady comes out of her house and says, "Come on in. I've got some beans and bread." And she made us the most, you know, best meal you've ever had. It were little beans and a little piece of bread. Mm. It was all she had, and we had the best communion with her. And that's how it always is. There would always be some really intense, you know, thing you'd have to go through and show, you know, give your faith. And then there would always be a connection, always be someone with someone that would be praying that would be right after the hard trial.
Wow.
Yeah.
This lifestyle, even radical, it would be considered for many Christians. But how did your Jewish family react to this change in you and this, you know, this calling?
Oh, well, they totally reacted. They sent out a posse after me. They had some private investigator trying to track me down, because during that time there were a lot of cults.
Okay.
There are always cults. But there were a lot of groups that were, you know, weird. And, of course, I was weird. Considering...
I've been accused of that, too.
Yeah, right. But God's people are peculiar, so it's a good thing.
Yes, we are a peculiar people, no doubt.
Really?
Some of us more peculiar than others.
Right. But see, I was brought up in the upper middle class, and I was going to the University of Santa Cruz, and I just left. I was like that movie where all of a sudden you just see the people just disappear.
Oh, like Left Behind or something? Like the rapture happened?
Yeah, something like that. And I left everything. I left all my stuff, and I just left. We walked down the road in faith.
So you never actually told your family where you were going?
I came back around and tried to explain it to them, and they just totally freaked out and were so upset. And my mom, I couldn't even talk to my mom, and my dad just was so upset. And it was about a number of years where we did not communicate, and then I came around full circle. And in the last, say, 20 years, they've gotten to see everything that I had been preaching exemplified by my life.
Mm-hmm.
So it came around full circle where they actually, you know, got to see who I am and how I live more than just what I was saying.
Right.
And that's where it came full circle. My mom ended up getting cancer, and that went on for 10 years. But we got really close, and a lot of incidences happened on... She got to see how I handled it and, you know, what kind of person I really am.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, my parents were, wow, the three kids, you actually turned out the best.
Well, praise God for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, of course, you know, my other family wouldn't want to hear that, but that's actually was the reflection back, that the virtues and the lifestyle and being honest and caring and,
right,
doing what Jesus says,
mm-hmm.
says a lot more than, you know, preaching 20 hours to someone.
No, I hear you. That's wonderful. Oh. Obviously, God called you out of that lifestyle because you went into business and you're an estate planner and you're also a musician. But how did you make that transition from this radical, itinerant lifestyle to going into business?
It has to be radical transition, too.
Right.
Well, during this time, we were blessed. I was being blessed with a lot of songs, and I'm a songwriter, and pretty soon I was given a voice, and the other brothers and sisters, we'd sit around the campfire and sing, and I ended up having an a cappella choir, and we'd sing all these songs that we wrote, and pretty soon the Lord said, go to Hollywood and make a record. And now, here we are in faith again, because to me, that is just as bizarre as walking down the road in a white robe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the Lord for about a year kept saying, go to Hollywood, make a record. So there we went. I was a little resistant at first. I can't say I was that receptive. No, like obedient. But after a million times that he told me, I was like, okay, I think this is a message. So we got, there we are, seven sisters, white robe, bare feet, walking the glassy streets of Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. You literally had bare feet.
Literally.
Oh, wow.
We even walked on railroad tracks. Oh, my goodness. Talk about glass, pointed rocks. Whew. But seriously, we did do that, and we knocked on all the record label doors. This is back in the 80s, and we got a record deal. We'd sing for them on the spot. Got a record deal back in the days of the old vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And did a record. I even opened at the Shrine for Little Richard when he accepted Jesus.
Wow.
Back in the day. So then we started doing radio and TV, and basically what happened was To make a long story short, there was a period there since I was really being blessed, and here I am, I'm living in Hollywood, and everything was going my way, and then all of a sudden, I thought I was doing it. Instead of giving God the glory, there was a subtle little change that started to happen in me, and I started thinking that I was so important and that I was doing it. And so what happened was the Lord wanted to show me who really was doing it, and he took away my voice.
Whoa,
I started doing things that I hadn't done when I was a child, and pretty soon it was like gone. It was removed, and I crashed.
You couldn't speak at all? Like literally?
Smile. I couldn't sing.
Oh my goodness!
My robe came off. I just went the totally opposite way of where I was for the last 25 years.
Mm.
And when I crashed and burned, I again went to my knees and asked the Lord Jesus to come back in my heart and help me get through it, get out of there. And my prayer was to be able to help lots of people that were in the same situation that I had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying law and became a paralegal and started to volunteer at the senior centers in my local area.
Wow.
When I started, I saw that they were all being ripped off by the attorneys because they deeded living trust and these attorneys were charging them, you know, $3,000 and just gouging them and abusing them. So I got a cause. I decided, well, not only am I going to make a living, I'm going to make it easy for the average person to be able to get their estate plan together. So I started to provide that service. And over the last 21 years, I've created an estate planning business and now the author of a book called Ready for Pre-Retirement. And I'm taking the same business model that I've done in California and doing it across the
U.S. And can you give out your website if people want to get in touch with you?
Oh, absolutely. My website is Ready for Pre-Retirement. That's www.readyforpretirement.com. Readyforpretirement.com. You can send me a note at chris@readyforpretirement.com. I also have a music site, and that's Chris. KRISMillerMusic.com.
Okay.
And, Daniel, if you have them mention this show, your show, by name, and email me, I will email them award-winning songs that we just had.
All right, that's wonderful. Well, once again, this is Daniel Fazina. You're listening to Divine Intervention, and our special guest is Chris Miller. And, Chris, unfortunately, we're just about out of time. But real quick, if there's someone listening to the show right now who doesn't know Jesus and maybe just searching for the meaning of life, doesn't know which way to turn, what would you want to say to those people?
What I'd say definitely is just stop everything, go sit quietly by yourself with the Lord, and ask him to come into your heart and show you what things you need to do to be ready. Not using any fear or any, you know, end of the world or this or that. Just the love for God that you want to be in love with the Lord. You just ask him to come in your heart and lead you and guide you and show you what you need to do. And he'll talk to you and he'll tell you exactly what you need to know. But you got to ask him. If you don't ask him into your heart, he won't come in.
Mm.
It has to be your own choice.
Amen to that.
Well, yeah.
Chris, I want to thank you so much for sharing your testimony. It's very encouraging to know that there was someone like yourself who literally followed Jesus the way the Bible said to and had some amazing experiences. We're going to leave off with your song, Be a Light. Can you tell us briefly what the song is about, and then we'll end off with that?
Sure enough. Well, basically, that's everything that we've been talking about. Everybody has a blessing. And maybe it's just a smiling at the cash lady at the market or the banker or sharing something with your child or a stranger. Everybody's got a light, and everybody right now is hiding their light. So be a light. Show Jesus a smile wherever you go.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris Miller on Divine Intervention. And here's her song, Be a Light. And after the break, we'll be back with Subway Psalmist Arlethea Lindsay. Stay with us.
Let tomorrow take care of itself. Have faith, things will all one thing I know. 'Cause you can't see him don't mean he's not there. There's a higher power I'm talking about. So be a light to the world. Shine it on, shine it on. When things are little better than they were before. Be a light to the world. Shine it on, shine it on. It's up to you to be the light to the world. Have you seen a child with an inner glow? You feel the warmth they have inside. That's a power so strong. It brightens your very soul. Can show you the way through the blackest night. So be a light to the world. Shine it.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. If you enjoy the testimonies featured on my talk show, I've also written a book series containing more amazing stories of God's divine interventions and miracles. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com. That's www.DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.